Welcome to the Leverage Podcast. As usual, I have no idea what episode we're on. I'm guessing somewhere around 30, 40, 90. We're going to talk about conversation skills. And first off, let's talk about, in general, what makes some people good conversationalists and what makes other people annoying? So let me open it up to you guys. What, just throw them out there. Just throw out things that people do to annoy you in conversation. What are some examples?
Speaking too much and keeping on rambling.
Rambling. Totally agree. Rambling, and by rambling, can you be more specific?
So, especially if they're talking about topics which do not interest me, and they switch topics just to keep the conversation going, and I'm guilty of that too. So I notice that in other people, it annoys me.
Okay. So switching topics, rambling about shit that the person on the other end of the line doesn't care about, right?
Yes.
That's a good one. That's definitely annoying as fuck. my mom really likes to do that, and it's funny because she's actually a really great conversationalist, but when she talks to me, I am a shitty conversationalist, usually because I don't make enough time to talk to her because I'm a bad son. I'm not actually that bad of a son, but regard, I am a bad son. I don't make enough time to talk to her, so I'm usually multitasking when I talk to her. And she can tell. And so what she'll do is she'll just start talking to me about something really fucking mundane, like the lady who comes to her house and waters her plants. Be like, oh, you know, Jamie, the flower lady, came over today, and she told me about her brother who has lung cancer. And gosh, it's so sad, you know. But Jamie's a really nice girl. She goes to Costa Mesa College, and you know, she's a little overweight, but she's always on time to water the plants. And, you know, the one plant down in your room, that one hasn't been doing so well. You know, that's not getting a whole lot of light. So we installed this new thing so that the light turns on and then the plant lives because it's kind of mimicking the sun. And, you know, the last time you were there, you know, there were different bedspreads in there. So we went ahead and had that changed. And we had a little bit of a, you know, the other guy came to do some woodwork. And he decided that we're going to go with the oak instead of the marble on top of the counter. So you can imagine how much fun that is for me. Yeah, and I feel like this is probably the case with a lot of people. You know, either that, like, let's say my mom only has really two outcomes. She has two possibilities. She could either do that because I'm not listening anyways and she just wants to talk, or she could call me out for not listening, which would definitely be better, or I could take responsibility for it and I could teach her how to have a conversation with me. And that's one of the big things we're going to go over in the conversation workshop, is teaching young girls, and not just young girls but girls in general, how to have a conversation. Because when you approach a girl on the street, she's probably not going to know how to have that conversation. So you've got to be able to teach her how to do that on the fly if you want to have a chance of connecting with her. Everyone has their own sort of go-to methods of communication and how they conversate. And if you're a master at being able to recognize which is which, then you'll be able to connect with a lot more people. So one of the things, you know, that I started doing with my mom is I'll just interrupt her. When she goes into one of these long, boring stories, I'll just interrupt her and I'll talk about something that I want to talk about. And she never cares. She's never, ever gotten mad that I interrupted her about the plant lady, because she doesn't want to talk about the plant lady either. So, you know, easy solution. So that's the rambler. We all know them and love them. What's another example of someone who's annoying and some annoying sort of conversational thing?
The annoying voice, man, like that's what kills me is people that just, and that's almost you know, it's like you feel bad because it's almost like there's nothing they can do to change it, but there probably is new to change it. Just someone that has just, whether it's monotone or, you know, this dude I used to work with, he just had, every time he spoke, I just felt like he, like I wanted to punch him in the face, if that makes any sense to you.
Totally. Accents can be annoying. Monotone voices can be annoying. High pitched voices, whatever. Everyone has their own sort of, you know, some people are going to be annoyed with different sorts of accents and different sorts of voices. But certainly if you find that, you know, you have one of those accents that tends to be more annoying, or do you think you have an annoying voice, you can do a lot of shit to change your voice. You can go to a speech pathologist. You can take singing lessons. You can go in the shower and do different voice activities to change that. So what else? Who's got another example?
If somebody just talks about themselves and they do not pace me, it's really annoying in the sense that they're not really gauging if I'm interested in what they're saying, but they keep on talking about themselves. That can be really annoying. Narcissistic, annoying. In other words.
Yeah. All about me, for sure. What else? Here's another one. The guy who uses too many filler words and pop culture lingo. Like, hey, bro, what's going on, man? Like, how you been? Like, you been chilling or what? Oh, chill. Awesome. Dude, yeah, that's sick, bro. Yeah. Cool, dude. Like, fuck off. Shut the fuck up. So fucking annoying. Stop using filler words to make yourself sound cool. You're not cool. You're just a fucking loser ass bro. Fuck you. Okay, on the next one, you can see I have a hatred for that one. Someone who tells really long-winded stories and loses the point. They go on and on and on, and then you're like, and what was the point? Oh, I totally forgot. Anyways, kind of goes along with what I told earlier about my mom. Here's a really bad one. This one is what a lot of guys revert to when they don't know what to say. So in most situations, if we were to mic up a random dude and make him hit on girls, he would probably turn into the super obvious cliche guy. And what this guy is doing is he's forcing the conversation. He's trying to get someone to like him. So he's making a lot of really dumb jokes to make that happen. Dumb jokes are like, that's what she said, or that's what he said. Like, that joke is never funny anymore because it's just been used too many times. It's like, I don't care how funny your how did the chicken cross the road joke is. It's probably not funny. You know, maybe 1 in 10 billion or maybe 1 in 1 billion. That's what he said or that's what she said jokes is now funny just because it's played out. You know, or it's like you meet a girl and she tells you she's a massage therapist. You go, ooh, that's cool. I have this kink in my neck. Do you think you can work this out for me real quick? You think you're being funny and clever, but trust me, she's heard that by every fucking dude. She's told that she's a massage therapist over the course of the last month. And you're just like every other douchebag. So there's a lot of guys who aren't super obvious and cliche normally, but they become super obvious and cliche when they're talking to girls. So if you ever catch yourself being the obvious cliche guy, be very careful not to continue. Another one is someone who is always exaggerating, stretching the truth, telling like innocent white lies. And what happens in that case is it's really distracting. So you're listening to someone or you're reading a story, whatever, and something just doesn't add up. And what happens when you have that feeling that something doesn't add up, it distracts you. It takes you away from the conversation and you start thinking about the fact or that thing that he or she said that doesn't add up. And then you lose the rest of what's being said because you're no longer present. You're not listening to anything coming out of their mouth. It just sounds like, and you're thinking, wait a second, how could that happen? That doesn't really make sense. So the only way to get back to that conversation is by either cutting the person off and calling them out for being a liar, which most people won't do because it's pretty aggressive, and most people don't want to be aggressive. They tend to be more passive. So all they can really do is just like let it go, but then they've missed everything else that's being said up until that point, and now they're lost. And they don't want to go back and be like, hey, can you repeat that? So what do they end up doing? They end up smiling and nodding. So most guys who do this have no idea that they're doing it, and they'll do it for years and years and years, and it usually gets worse and worse. I know, because I used to be guilty of this behavior. I would tell all sorts of little white lies without even realizing I was telling the lies. Like, I just wouldn't really think about what happened. I'd tell a story, and I'd kind of think about it, but I'd make generalizations or I wouldn't really have the exact facts straight, and I would just change something small. But what happens is then it affects something later on in the story. So if you guys have ever heard the quote, if you tell the truth, it heals your past. And if you tell a lie, it fucks your future. That's an amazing quote that I try to live by, because every time you tell the truth or you admit the truth, you're in essence correcting something in the past, and you're healing yourself. You know, you're fixing a relationship, or you're being honest about how something is or how something isn't. And from that place, you can move forward. And the opposite, every time you tell a lie, that is something you're going to have to remember, because if something doesn't add up in the future, you're going to look bad. You're going to look like a liar. It's going to damage your reputation. And it's putting this potential roadblock or grenade or landmine in your future that's waiting to fuck you over. So don't be a liar. Don't tell white lies. Don't exaggerate. Don't gloss over things. Try to be, you know, actually like poignant and legit in your speaking. It doesn't mean you need to address everything like you're in the court of law on the jury stand, but you don't need to tell these little white lies. They're not helping you. They're just making you worse. So that's a big one. Also, guys do that when they're in any sort of situation where they're uncomfortable. So I think I covered a lot of them. Are there any that I didn't cover that someone can think of?
Question trains, where they go question, question, question.
Oh, yeah. Being the interview guy, the Walter Cronkite. Mm-hmm. Just bombing questions and not sharing any information. Definitely. Another way that's what most guys do. If they don't know what they're going to say, they go into that. Anything else?
Okay.
So let's see. Let's talk about, well, I mean, here, there's many, many ways to be annoying. We can't possibly think of them all or cover them all. But in order to not be annoying, you really have to start listening for why people are annoying. So when you're talking to people, try to think about it. Why am I annoyed right now? What's annoying about this conversation? Why am I checking out? Why am I tuning out? Don't just tune out. Think about why you're tuning out. And if you can pinpoint why someone is annoying and why you're tuning them out, then you can ask yourself if you're guilty of that same annoying behavior. And odds are, at some point, everyone's guilty of all of this behavior. There's not a single thing on that list that at some point in time I haven't found myself being, right? So in order to be a great conversationalist, you need to be really good at hearing why other people are bad. And I guarantee if you don't consistently think that people suck at conversation, you suck at conversation. About, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, no, maybe longer, 5, 6 years ago, I never judged anyone on their conversation. It was like 1 out of 100 people. I judged them and said, oh, this guy's a shitty conversationalist, so this person's annoying. Now, almost everyone is annoying to me. And, some might say, well, that's a really unhappy life you're living. But, I guess you could make that argument, but my counter would be no. I'm just choosing who I'm surrounding myself, and I'm filtering out annoying people much harder because I don't have time for those people and I don't feel like being fucking annoyed all the time. So I listen for why they're annoying. I make sure I'm not annoying, and then I don't talk to them anymore, or I try to help them not be so annoying. So if you don't know why other people are annoying, guess what? You're fucking annoying. So is there anyone who's on the phone call who would like me to tell them why or why they aren't annoying?
Yes, please.
Derek?
Yes. Also, I would like you to rate how annoying do you think my accent is from 1 to 10? Because I'm working on it, but I still like to, you know, measure progress.
It isn't annoying to me. It doesn't annoy me at all. The only thing that annoys me with you is when you go into that mode that we've talked about before, when you try to, like, you talk in that really, like, polite voice. But I can tell you're actually, like, angry or frustrated, but you're being overly polite. And we've spoke about this before, and that's annoying to me because I can tell immediately that it's not real. And I can't connect with it. If I know you're lying, the only way I can connect with you is to call you out, right? And once again, that puts me in an uncomfortable situation. I'm your coach, so I'm totally fine doing it. But if I wasn't, I would just be, like, annoyed when you did that. But your accent doesn't annoy me, but I guarantee your accent turns off girls. So that's why I tell you to change your accent. Not because it's annoying to me, but you're going to get less pussy. All right? Yes. And your accent is a lot better than it used to be. The first time I spoke with you, well, not the first time because we spoke in San Diego many years ago, but the first time we spoke, you know, in the recent past, when we had that consultation call, it was frustrating because your accent was so thick. I couldn't understand a lot that you're saying, and I didn't want to keep having to say, huh, what, can you repeat yourself? But I had to, because if I didn't get what you were saying, then there's no way I could have provided any value to you or, you know, offered you a chance to join the group, because I wouldn't know what you needed. Right. So in conversations where you have to get the information and you're having a really hard time understanding someone, it can be really fucking frustrating. Like, for example, I don't know if any of you guys have talked to Dan. Dan's a fucking brilliant guy, super high IQ, fucking genius, rich, loaded. But he talks so goddamn fast, you can't understand half the shit he's saying. So half the time you're talking to him, like, huh? Can you repeat that? Huh? And you feel like an asshole. But hey, it's not your fault. He just talks too fast. So, you know, that can be a challenge. So there you go, Adam. Thanks for being on the chopping block. Who else wants to know how and why or if they are or aren't annoying?
You can do me, Robbie.
Jason? You used to, I mean, you know all this because we've given you a shitload of feedback in the past, but you used to go on tangents about, like, boring shit. You know, Jesse's called you out on that a million times. What was the famous one that you went on some tangent about some cooking thing?
It was cheese.
Yes. The one thing that's great about hanging out with Jesse is Jesse loves telling people why they suck. He loves making people uncomfortable, and he loves telling you that you're a fucking loser, idiot, douchebag, fill in the blank. So the downside of hanging out with him is you feel bad, but the upside is you learn a lot. So it's good to have people in your life that can fill that role, because without them, then you'll just keep on doing the same shit, annoying people and not getting any better results. So I'm sure Jesse very delicately pointed that out to you. Right, Jason? Probably it sounds something like, hey, you fucking loser, if you keep talking about cheese, me and the rest of these bitches are going to walk out and you can go jerk off to some stolen cheese by yourself. Fuck you. Shut the fuck up. Asian fucking loser store. Sounded something like that, I'm guessing?
More or less.
Yeah.
That was a good night. That was my birthday, by the way.
Even better. So... happy birthday to you. But he does usually do a really good job of giving you that harsh information in a funny way. And it's so over the top that you have to just laugh. And my feedback to Jesse all the time is, yo, you're really funny in person when you go off on people. But when you do it in the group, it can be a little harsh and people are sensitive and delicate. And then they get their panties all in the bunch and then they want to fucking do something rash. So every time someone signs up for the group, I have to give them that disclaimer, which is annoying. And Jesse knows that, and he's not working on it at all. So fuck me. But recently for you, Jason, I don't think I've been annoyed with anything that you've done. The one post today
annoyed me, and I haven't responded to it, but what I was going to respond to was the use of the word kid in the post that you posted about Maddie. You used kid a few too many times, and it came across as like you were trying to be this guy who says kid a lot, but I know you're not that guy. So there was that like gap in like he's trying to be someone he's not, and that was annoying. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So read through that post and look at all the times you use kid. Because it's not really like a common phrase. It's like, I don't know, who says that? Like, yeah, the kid. It's like an old Italian guy. I don't know who fucking says that.
Fair enough.
So, other than that, pretty solid. You've definitely come a long way in terms of not being annoying. Who else?
Yes, sir.
All right. Yeah, I've definitely roasted you quite a bit recently online, which is good. You know, who's better than you than getting more feedback, right? There was one. Let's see. Okay, so today, actually, this would be a really good one. So you posted about a date that you went on this weekend, and I asked you if you followed the dating protocol. I said, more details would be helpful if you want more feedback. And you said, busy at work, I'll do more details tonight. And then you launched into it on Monday. So I'm going to read what you said, and I'm going to stop and give you feedback on my thoughts on that. So you said, I didn't necessarily follow protocol because it wasn't quite a usual circumstance. Sunday night, not an ideal date night, but I had my son Saturday night, and this show was happening out in TO. She lives in Agoura. Okay, so already I'm annoyed by a few things in this sentence. So when you say Sunday night, not an ideal date night, my immediate reaction is, why isn't it an ideal date night? It's actually a perfect date night in terms of what we're teaching, because you don't want to go on dates on Friday or Saturday nights because you look like you're too thirsty. Because if you're willing to go out on a Friday or Saturday, it usually shows that you don't have a lot of social shit going on, which shows that you don't have a lot of friends, which makes you look worse. So we always recommend to never schedule a date on a Friday or Saturday. But you don't tell us why it's not an ideal date night. You just say it's not ideal, which goes in opposition of what we're teaching. So now I'm like, fuck, well, he's not getting that. And that's not annoying per se, but it's distracting, right? And then you said, but I had my son Saturday night, which again goes in opposition of Friday and Saturday being good night. And this show was happening out in TO. She lives in Agoura, so it was convenient. Okay, fair. I mean, I guess that, you know, it wasn't ideal, but I wanted to support some of the bands in the rockabilly scene, network a little bit so I could get my name in the scene, expand my social circle game a little bit. That's fine. Most of these bands were Ventura County Rockabilly, so made a lot of new connections. That's all secondary to my primary mission, which was to connect with this chick. So one thing that, like, I know you've talked to me a bit about the rockabilly thing, but to someone else reading that, they might not really understand what the rockabilly scene is, and it's not really relevant to the date as much as it could be. Let me ask Jason. Jason, the rockabilly part, what was the experiencing? Because I could be biased, so let me ask someone else. Jason, what do you think about that part?
Well, it's like totally tangential to the date. I mean, I didn't read the whole post from, but based on what you're just saying right now, I'm like, what does this have to do with this girl and this date? You know, like, it's totally separate conversation.
Got it. Yeah, that's what I was getting at and having trouble
oversharing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. It didn't really matter. I mean, the only reason was he said, well, I wanted to do the date. I mean, his point was that it wasn't an ideal night for the date, but he's trying to kill two birds with one stone, but he didn't really need to talk about any of that rockabilly stuff. I mean, I guess social circle game, it could have been a different post. Right. So I get what you're going for, Adam, which I think was you wanted to say you were using this as a time where you could go on a date and expand your social circle. But you're going to lose the audience because I'm asking you for specific details on the date, and now we're talking about Rockabilly Social Circle game. So it just makes everything way more complicated. One more. So and then you said ran late for the date, supposed to pick her up at 5. She was from 3 to 10 p.m. at Borderline in Thousand Oaks. Used to be a country line dancing spot. Now they do all kinds of punk rock and rockabilly shows too. Perfect example of a fucking ridiculous tangent. Ran late for the date. We don't need to know, you know, where she was or what used to happen at that bar. It's just distracting. And we're like, what? And then he said, I had a ceremony for my little boy in Little Tokyo early in the day. Just ran over on that and had to get a haircut clean up before the date. So didn't get there till 6:30. So all you had to say was, I ran late. But I don't even know if you had to say that, because it doesn't seem like it even made a difference to the date. All you had to say is, we got there at 7. I introduced her to some rockabilly friends. We bought a couple drinks. Then we started working the room and found a table to sit down. So yeah, everything, you know, the first 75% of that post was excess info. So I'm not saying any of this to pick on you guys. I'm saying all of this because you're going to lose your audience when you exhibit these conversational traits, right? Like, I'm going to read them, obviously, but other people are going to be overwhelmed and they're just going to be like, well, I don't want to fucking read this. It's too much. And then you won't get their feedback, which is valuable. So thanks for going on the chopping block there.
Oh, sorry. I'm reading like the posts. I didn't realize it was like 7 different posts. I guess the biggest problem with this is that you don't talk about what you talked about on the date at all. Like you have this whole setup on exposition, and then you just say you flirted easily and you had easily good rapport. And you talked about, and this was good, where you talk about like what you were trying to do in terms of physical escalation, so we know what's going on there. But all the exposition could be cut out, and you could focus instead on what did you actually talk about on the date. That would have been way more detailed. That would have been useful. It's almost like if you say a lot about stuff that doesn't matter, and you don't say anything about what does matter.
Yeah, and that's something that's super important. Probably something that I'll take responsibility for that. When anyone does a date write-up or when anyone tells a story, and we'll talk about how to tell a story in the conversation workshop because it's essentially what a date write-up is. It's really important that when you tell a story, you only talk about the details and the facts relevant to the story. You know, there's a story that I tell all the time because it's a great story. A lot of the guys who are on this call were involved in the story. It's the story of how we got basically how I had to bribe a cop or a border patrol officer in the border between Serbia and Hungary. And how Jason almost got his passport taken away. And it's a hilarious story about bribing a cop. Like, just the nature of that story is going to be interesting. And there's a lot of shit I could say that would make that story really boring. I could talk about the type of car we were in, which doesn't fucking matter. I could talk about the shit in the trunk. It doesn't fucking matter. I could talk about what I was wearing. I could talk about how hot it was outside. None of that shit matters. But I promise, if you listen to stories that suck, the author or the speaker will give a lot of details and information about shit that doesn't matter. And they're completely irrelevant to the point of the story. You'll lose the audience. So essentially, that's what's going on in all of these posts, Adam. And you're going to lose your audience because you're not talking about the shit that matters on the date, which is your connection. Did she like you? What happened that she, what made you think that she liked you? And what is the shit you talked about that made the dynamic go from two people who don't know each other to two people having sex? Like, what your son was doing earlier in the day has zero bearing on that. And whether or not you were, you know, interested in the rockabilly scene has no bearing on that either. So we're all reading for, does this chick want to fuck you? And how can we help you make that happen? And when we hear about this other stuff, we can't help. So any thoughts on that? I unmuted you for a second. We'll take one more. Anyone else want to know why they're annoying or not annoying?
Yeah, this is Shriban. I volunteer.
Sherbon, let's see. You don't really do anything annoying anymore. You know, you and Jason have been around for so long. We've fucking crushed all of your annoying behaviors. The only thing that you do that's annoying is when we tell you you're being a Sherbon, which is you don't make decisions and you waffle back and forth. And you think you're doing a good job of like weighing the pros and cons, but you're usually just squandering opportunities. And we can all see it, but you can't see it because you're so used to doing it. And we know that it's annoying for the person who's waiting for your answer. And we've all been in that situation before. So when we see you doing it to someone else, we get annoyed because it brings back that pain that we once felt. So, for example, the post about the house in Santa Monica the other day brought up some pain for me because I could feel Anya's pain. Makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's a problem when you, you know, when you're around a group of people that is very, that they get to know you really well and they know why you're annoying. Anytime you do something that's like slightly annoying, it's going to get blown out of proportion because they're so sick of you being that way. So you get less and less leeway. Like Jad, for example, he posted so many posts that were just fucking obnoxious, annoying, lies, ridiculous, counterproductive, like flame wars that now like no one has any tolerance for him, which is unfortunate, but that's what happens in the real world, right? The group is just a reflection of that. So now anytime Jad posts, Leonard immediately jumps on his back, fucking Joel reams about, everyone just fucking reams on poor Jad. But fuck, I mean, he kind of deserves it because that's how he created, you know, that's he built that name for himself. So in order to combat that, what I had to do was I had to put him on a posting bet where he has to send me what he wants to post, and I can make sure it's not annoying or low content or any of these other ways where it's going to suck, and then I'll let him post it. Unfortunately for him, he's still sending a lot of those low content ones. So I don't allow them through, but that's how he's going to get better. Right. So Sherbon, that's the big thing, is when you're being a Sherbon. So you should be really careful not to be a Sherbon, because you know, when you're going to do that, everyone's going to be like, God damn it, Sherbon's being a fucking Sherbon. Right. Like, I know my tendency is like, especially when, like my tendency, one of my annoying behaviors is that I have this mistrust of people that I have no reason to mistrust, that they're like trying to screw me over in a deal because I've been screwed over so many times in the past. So when someone says, here's the deal, here's what you owe, send the money, I'll be like, well, why do I owe this? And what about this person? Are they paying that? Like, I'm really too concerned if people are getting a fair deal. Like, I want to make sure everything's fair. And instead, I'm just the annoying guy who's not trusting the situation. And the ramifications of that are people aren't going to want to do deals with me because they're going to know I'm going to ask 10,000 annoying questions to make sure I'm not getting an unfair deal. So maybe like in my mind, I think, ooh, you know, I don't want to get screwed, but now I'm missing out on opportunities because people aren't offering me deals. So anytime that comes up in my mind where I'm like, uh-oh, is this fair? I say, Ravi, just shut the fuck up. And if you trust the person, send the money. If you don't trust the person, don't send the money, right? Do XYZ, don't do XYZ. Just make a fucking decision. Don't waffle back and forth. So it's very similar to yours in a way, Sherbon. But, you know, there's a difference there.
Oh, cool. This is Jason. My only concern when I'm talking about Sherbon being a Sherbon is when it feels like you're doing way too much deliberation over something very small. It's almost like you give like these, like buying a house, I can understand you kind of want to deliberate that, but like, I feel like you do the same amount of deliberation over like, do you want to eat at X restaurant or Y restaurant? And that's really where I'm like, oh, Sherbon, Sherbon.
Right. Totally. And I'm laughing because I'm immediately thinking about the restaurant that we ended up at in Bucharest. But I get to rub that in the face every time that one comes up.
That's below the belt, man.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys for being guinea pigs and taking some feedback. Never fun, but it's helpful. So moving along,